So as we mentioned already in regard to his high priest, in regard to the matter of offering sin, offering for sin, it was God's word and it was man's word. He needed to satisfy the holy demand of God, and he needed to purge our sins away. The same thing in regard to his priesthood now at the right hand of God. It is God's word, and it is man's word. We heard a little bit about God's word, and that's chapter 9 and 10, where he is the minister of the sanctuary. We will get to that later on. But I think that important part that sometimes we are familiar with, but as we have heard, we really, if I should say that with all reverence, we did not take advantage of it, is that his high priest had regard to our weaknesses. But again, the question comes again, why do I need a high priest? We said because of weakness. Weakness in regard to what? If you turn to chapter 2, I think that's really the verse that we need to understand and kind of take hold of us to understand why do we need a priest in regard to our weakness. The first thing is that verse 10, first part of the verse, and behove him, of whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That is God's purpose. God's purpose is to bring this company to glory. Because again, I said, isn't Savior enough? Okay, save me from hell and leaving me on earth. That's not really God's purpose. God's purpose is to bring many sons to glory, to bring me to glory. But in between chapter 2 and the chapters we have before us, we have chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 speaks about the wilderness condition. And in the wilderness condition, it exposes what's in my heart. So in chapter 3, I think you have three descriptions of hearts. You have hardened heart, you have erring heart, and you have evil heart. I'm not going to tell you the verses, you find them out. Hardened heart, evil heart, and erring heart. That is the condition that I have in me. God is purposing to bring me to glory. In the wilderness, there is outside circumstances that comes in my way, outside opposition that comes in my way to hinder me to enter into what God had in mind. I need help. Now, weaknesses here is not the temptation that is come spring from within me that James is speaking about. If any man tempted, that is something from within. In Hebrews, it is something that comes from without to hinder me. Amalek came to fight with the children of Israel as they are going into the land. Exodus chapter 17. And there you have Moses standing up, lifting up his hand to sustain the people so they will be able to overcome the enemy. Now, the Lord Jesus did not have in him anything that responds to sin. Otherwise, he would have needed a high priest. But the temptation of the Lord Jesus by the enemy, give me a little glimpse of what does it mean that he is able because he have gone through it himself, sin apart. When Satan came to the Lord Jesus, he said, you want to have the glory? I'll give it to you. You want to have the prestige? In whatever area of the universe you want to have it. You want to have it in the idea of humanitarian aid by making stones bread and feeding the whole everything, you could have that fame. As a matter of fact, most of the rich people now are famous not because they are rich, but because of the charity work that they do. Even that is corrupt. The other thing you want to be famous is the prestige of power. I'll show you all of the kingdom in the world, and I could give them to you. How about in the religious area? You will fall down from the, throw yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. He'll send his angels. This is the way to glory. But the way to glory must be through God's way and must be through suffering. So for you and I, the enemy comes and he said, I'll show you a shortcut. You could bypass that pathway and get to what you want. You could enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. The Lord Jesus did not have in him something to incline to the attacks of the enemy. You and I have something in us. And that is the weakness that you and I have. We have in ourselves the sinful nature that could run and desire and respond to what the enemy put in my way. What do I need? I run to the high priest. And I tell him, you know what it is. You know what it is. Come alongside and help me. Therefore, chapter 4 comes. Run to the throne of grace. It's really important to take advantage, again, with reference, of the position, the office of the Lord Jesus. When I am weak and I am not able, I reach the end of myself. Do we know what it is? It's not a matter of just running in to pray and ask for something. It's really there in His presence. And really realize how weak I am. I cannot do it in my own strength. Nobody around me could help. And I need Him. And as I said, He doesn't sleep. He's not busy. His line is never busy. Never ever busy. The fainted cry of any saints. The Lord. But He wants us to depend on Him. Because if we don't, we're going to sin. And that's why it's really, really important. God's purpose is to bring many sons to glory. How is He going to do that? I can't do it in my own strength. Because I have in me a sinful nature that inclined to respond to sin. But also, God had provided for me a great high priest. He provided for me the throne of grace. And I could run there and take hold of Him. And He's able to come alongside of me and help me to overcome those inclinations that I have in me to respond to sin.
Isn't this what we get with the matter of salvation from the power of sin presently? Mm-hmm. And that's what Hebrews really focuses on. It doesn't really focus on eternal salvation in the sense of saved from the judgment of God. It's not the emphasis. And I think we see that in chapter 2. He's the captain of their salvation. And then in chapter 5, He's the author of eternal salvation. And then in chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost. So he's a saving priest. That's marvelous. We need present salvation as saints. That's what we need. And we don't live in the good of it. We're having this in our Sunday school back in the meeting. The great salvation. And we need to live in the value of present salvation. And that He is the one who alone can help us.
Heaven is the sphere of Christ's service for His people that He has redeemed. The very ones whose sins He bore on the cross and put away. Now He's there interceding for us, as we heard, in our weakness and in our need. And anything that will rob us, I would say, of our enjoyment of this portion that we have in Him there. But that is, I think, the great thing. For our sins, He died. For our weakness, He intercedes.
We should give just a few examples when we say in like ways He was tempted, because we know in ways He wasn't tempted, because He is so distinct from us. But while He was here, the Lord experienced human life. He went through trials that are common to man. He experienced hunger, sleepless nights, rejection. He experienced the poverty of the lifestyle He lived. In many other ways, the Lord Jesus went through life, and this qualifies Him as one who can feel what we feel. And when we intercede with Him, Aaron couldn't feel what I felt. Aaron isn't living my life. But the Lord lived that life which made Him experience all these things. And yet without sin, as Scriptures, Hebrews 4, verse 14, very clear. Yet without sin. But keep in mind, He went through these experiences in His life to show us that He understands. He experienced the effects of death. He wept over Lazarus' grave. He experienced abandonment and people forsaking Him who walked with Him for 3 years. Rejection of those that hated Him in the first place, but also those that were close to Him. He understood that. He experienced family life. He had all these experiences and fellowship and friendship and all of that. And so we can see Him relating to our experiences.